Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We still are dealing with 195,000 deaths in the United States right now. When you see that, when you think about that, does that give you any pause? Does it make you think, is there anything I could have done differently? Anything?
I think we could have had 2 million deaths if we didn't close out the country.
So you regret nothing?
No, I think we did a great job.
So when you listen to any of these folks in the mainstream media, or if you're listening to the press conference that we aired in the 12 o'clock hour, does anybody ever ask a question of Donald Trump that is like, you know, you had a lot of success here. Who do you credit for the successes that you have in keeping coronavirus deaths only to 1 million or whatever it was? Does anybody ever ask him something that allows him to position himself in a positive way?
No, the media is all like lawyers. They know the answer that they're looking for before they ask the question. It's just that Trump doesn't ever give them that answer.
And if we had a more balanced, it doesn't have to be all the questions. In fact, the hard questions are the important questions. And I've had people on the show here who I agree with, you know, in almost every capacity. Where I, especially if we have the White House on, or maybe the RNC, which we have on from time to time, I try not to get them on as much as I do the White House, the people who are actually, you know, moving and shaking. If people are insinuating something over and over and over again, just like when they were talking about how the president like told people to inject bleach or something to, like, this is the stupidest thing ever. And we had Laura Trump on. This is just coming to me right now. And I asked her that question because I want to hear what the Trumps have to say about that. I would rather ask them the question, like, did the president say this? Did the president mean this? And get their reaction than to just presume that it was something else and tell you that myself. I want Laura Trump to answer that question. So asking the question is tough, but Laura Trump can handle it. And so can Donald Trump. So you ask these difficult questions and they give you the answers that some of you folks are going to love and some of you folks aren't going to love very much. But you have to ask the difficult questions. But they never, ever ask a question, to your point, Ryan, that isn't predetermined to make him look as bad as they possibly can. Just like in the press conference today that we had earlier. There wasn't a single question in the first 12, 13, 15 minutes that we listened to about peace in the Middle East that didn't even come up. It's because they don't want you to know about it.
They're treating Biden with kid gloves right now, too, of course. I mean, we all know that. But I think we forget that Kamala Harris isn't necessarily great at that either. I don't think that she's going to be this lightning rod that's going to come in and kind of save that part of that campaign. You know, she's been pressed on a couple of issues, even on friendly territory like by Colbert. you know, hey, how, you and Biden were pretty much at odds during the debates. How'd you have such a sudden flip around? How'd you get on board? Oh, well, it was just a debate. I mean, these are questions they should have known they were going to get, and she couldn't handle them. So I don't know that either one of them are going to do great in those debates that are coming.
Well, I would say she probably didn't know she was going to get asked that question. She probably didn't think it was...
You're probably right.
She probably thought she was playing on the home field.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to our guest here. Adam Schuster joins us. He's a senior budget and tax research director at Illinois Policy Institute. And, you know, the state of Illinois, fiscally without COVID, disaster, dumpster fire. Enter in global pandemic, and it gets very grim very quickly. We've been talking about this on my show since I've been behind a microphone. You add in this pandemic, and it becomes much more significantly severe. Governor Pritzker has now come out, and he's starting to throw out some words that are going to frighten some people, which is why he's using them, because this is politics. And guess whose fault all of this is? Of course it is Donald Trump's fault. Adam, what is the governor saying? You know, he's all of a sudden we're talking about spending cuts, budget cuts. We should have been talking about budget cuts before we were talking about a progressive income tax, if you ask me. But what's the story here? What is Governor Pritzker threatening the taxpayers of Illinois with right now?
So essentially, he is threatening the taxpayers that if the Donald Trump administration does not come through with the $5 billion blank check bailout that he wants, that he's going to order state agencies to cut spending across the board by 5% this year and up to 10% next year. So he's threatening these massive cuts to sort of core government services, the types of services people want and need. And remember, while Illinois is a very high spending state overall, most of what we spend money on is actually pensions and debt service. And when it comes to services and agencies, we actually have been seeing pensions crowd out that spending. So that spending has fallen over time. And we're not a high spending state on services that actually go to the people. And so Pritzker is presenting this false choice between bailouts and these spending cuts. But we're in this situation because of the budget he passed last May that increased spending by more than $2 billion, despite the fact that he knew we were going to see declining revenues.
Does that increase spending include the pay raise that the legislature didn't take out that they accepted in the budget?
Yes, it includes pay raises, automatic pay raises, including the pay raises for state workers that Governor Pritzker refused to delay or cancel or try to negotiate his way out of the way that many other governors did, even in Democratic states.
That these local, like, Democratic state reps like Katie Stewart did not vote against. Monica Bristow, I believe, didn't vote against it either. Voting for these increases in their own pay, and now Pritzker comes out and he's all big and bad on his spending cuts. Ryan, you wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, Adam, do you think this, based on what we've seen from Pritzker so far, is this an empty threat? I mean, is he trying to jockey to get federal money here, or do you think he'll actually pass, assuming with Congress, would pass spending cuts?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. The governor's used this trick before. If you think back all the way to January, I know it seems like forever ago, the governor was making essentially this same threat with regard to the progressive income tax. He was presenting voters with a false choice. He said, if you don't enact my tax hike, I'm going to have to cut, you know, core spending across the board by 5%. So I do think that, you know, because he increased spending before, this year, because he refused to do anything to reform pensions or any of the other structural cost drivers of our budget, there likely will have to be changes to the budget that they passed in May if the federal government doesn't come through. Now, I do think he is trying to present a worst case scenario for the purpose of applying political pressure to the Trump administration.
I don't know if we lost Annie or what happened, but Adam, I'll just continue on until we get her back here. Illinois being, you know, in a worse position than other states, is Pritzker, is this something that we're seeing that he is lining up with other Democrat governors to try to pressure Washington to get? I mean, or is this a unique situation to Illinois?
Well, again, it's a little bit of both. So I think, you know, Illinois is probably in the worst fiscal situation here, yeah, both before and after COVID. But a number of other Democratic governors, including in New York and in a handful of other states, are pushing for this federal bailout. And, you know, the challenge here is it's not completely wrong that you would expect the federal government to provide some help to state and local governments. And they've already done that to a significant degree. They've passed, you know, $360 billion in aid to state and local governments. More than $11 billion of that went to Illinois. But now they're asking for something different. They're asking to help with general budget holes, you know, not spending related to the pandemic, not, you know, healthcare costs and the like, but just, you know, plugging their general budget holes. And so if Congress is going to do that, if Congress thinks that that's a valid thing for them to do, it shouldn't come without strings attached, which has been our position. If Congress is going to help these state and local governments with problems that long predate COVID-19, it needs to be contingent on them fixing those problems before they get the money.
We're talking with Adam Schuster, Senior Budget and Tax Research Director at Illinois Policy. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Adam. How tied to COVID is this in reality? Because we know that they're going to say, well, we need money because of the pandemic. And I'm sure that shutting businesses down is not helping with tax revenue. But how much would you say that this is related to needing money because of the pandemic?
Well, so there's two kinds of buckets you could break the pandemic relief into. One would be sort of a disaster relief, right? The same type of spending that you'd expect if there's a tornado or an earthquake or some type of natural disaster. And Congress has done a lot of that. They continue to do a lot of that spending on, you know, increased spending on Medicaid, increased assistance to hospitals. And then there's, you know, revenue losses. And essentially what Governor Pritzker is asking for is to make up the revenue losses. Now, that's an economic problem. It is related to COVID-19. But had he, you know, enacted a responsible budget in May where they, you know, brought spending in line with their revenues, and had they, you know, had some emergency savings like most other states do in a rainy day fund, they'd be able to get through this without asking for a bailout. So while all states are experiencing, you know, drops in revenue, many of them are able to handle that. You know, Arizona, for example, they went into this with a massive rainy day fund, about almost 10% of their annual budget held in reserve. And they also had budget surpluses. And so as a result, they were able to absorb a 15% drop in revenue without having to cut spending. Illinois had nothing saved. And, you know, the idea of this state having a surplus is a joke. Instead, we've got billions of dollars in deficits and debt.
Yeah, Adam, as we're trying to reconnect with Annie here, I got one more question for you before we hit the break. Is the governor trying to tie this to the progressive income or the fair tax yet? I mean, is that part of the conversation, is saying, well, we're going to take away spending on roads and infrastructure and things if you don't pass this tax for us in November?
Yes, he's done that. He's using both the bailout, the phantom bailout that hasn't actually come yet, and the revenue that voters haven't approved yet from the progressive income tax. Both are included in his budget. So without those, the budget he passed has about a $6 billion deficit. But again, that's irresponsible planning on his part. And to the extent that Illinois is grappling with a crisis that is worse than other states, it's because of decisions made by people like Governor Pritzker.
Adam Schuster, thanks for joining us, Senior Budget and Tax Director at Illinois Policy. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot.
IllinoisPolicy.org, if you want to look up more about that organization and the different plans that they have that sometimes get overlooked that actually could solve problems in Illinois. Katie, we're talking to Annie, I guess, via cell phone right now to figure out.
Yes.
Oh, she's back.
She's back. Nope. Yes,
she's not.
Okay,
back.
She is.
No, I'm not back.
She's
not figment of your imagination.
Happy birthday, Ryan! You're taking over the show.
Yay!
I told you there was going to be a surprise party.
Surprise!
Right. I hate to say this in the air. Is Adam Schuster still with us, or did you wrap up?
He's not.
We just wrapped.
Sorry about that. Something happened with my internet. I like ran upstairs to see if maybe like there was a Charter or Spectrum truck out front. Nope, there wasn't. But there was a nice bouquet of flowers from Deerberg's from Katie and Rosamund David. So thank you for that.
Oh.
And I have rebooted my...
You're welcome.
So I think we're back up and running, and I apologize for that. Ryan, I'm sure you did a bang-up job. Let's take a quick break.
We solved all the problems of Illinois, by the way, while you were gone. Isn't that
thank
amazing?
Thank you. It took
You're
me...
welcome.
It took me being offline in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
Who knew? Really, who knew? We'll be back, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I may be here. I may not. That's the biggest tease, and I'm teasing myself. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It was a little exciting last segment there with Adam Schuster. Not that it's not always exciting when Adam Schuster with the Illinois Policy Institute is on, but we had a little internet malfunction here, but we're all back. So today is Ryan's, we're making it his unofficial birthday because we're going to officially celebrate it next week when we have a little bit more time to prepare. But Ryan, you're 43 now, is that right?
No, not even close to that. Is this what I can expect on
52?
My... No, I am not over the hill at all. I'm still
60.
In my 30s, 60. And I am going to hold on to that. Although I may be in my 30s for another 5 or 6 years. We'll see.
There you go. I don't think that's how it works. But anyway, what are you doing for your birthday? How are you celebrating? What's a COVID birthday look like for you? Katie, your birthday is still coming up, so you haven't had a COVID birthday yet. I have had a COVID birthday. I've had a COVID anniversary, which was yesterday. A COVID Mother's Day. It's all been COVID-ed. How's this birthday going to look for you?
I don't know. Your birthday was at the very beginning of the pandemic. I know that. So maybe I should learn some lessons from whatever you did. But we have
absolutely
zero plans other than maybe getting some Chinese food tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how it goes, though. I think that is how it goes even without the pandemic involved. It's like, okay,
52.
Let's go
like,
out.
What's the
when
point?
You turn like, you know, 70, you're just like, all right, I've had all the birthdays.
Let me tell you what, I don't want to be on this show
anymore
because here's the deal. This is the youngest show on this station.
It's true.
And
that's right.
That's right. And so I could go on any other show on this station and be the youngest person. Well, almost. Not quite.
Yeah, no, you can't because Trisha is young and
I
so
know.
Is Rachel.
I said almost. I didn't mean it.
Which
all
means
the way.
Not. And you'd still be the old fart. You're the old fart here. That's for sure.
Darn right I am.
By like years.
My joints are all creaky, just like
so
I said earlier.
I wish that birthdays were still magical in some way. I wish that they were still like a big
deal. It's a repetitive annual disappointment.
But I will say,
sorry.
Whenever we're all, it's like, okay, great.
Isn't
I'm
it
a year
though?
Older.
No, I'm having a great time. Thank you.
Happy birthday. But whenever we're all
fantastic.
In the studio together, that was like, that day was always made cool for whoever it was. You know, like my birthday this year is on Election Day, so that's going to be really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Not to take
and
the spotlight
Ryan's
away from
leaving
you.
The state.
Oh, my gosh. How stupid am I?
That question? Is that rhetorical?
No. Yeah, that's rhetorical. Don't answer that question.
Just kidding.
I scheduled that. So, you know, we had our Disney trip planned at the beginning of the pandemic, like late May. Obviously, the whole park shut down, so we couldn't go. Mm-hmm. And I had to go because I'm on the show, and Annie makes people that are associated with her go to Disney.
It's required.
So I had to reschedule the trip. So we scheduled
I don't
it
make
for...
you. I just pressure how wonderful it is.
Hard
which is
pressure.
Like, which is make light.
Yeah.
And so I had to reschedule it for November or somewhere, you know, somewhere in the fall because I was trying to appease my wife to feel good about, well, maybe coronavirus won't be as bad by the time. And we'll see. I don't know. But at the time,
just don't let her listen to Democrats on the news.
I don't.
You'll be fine.
I already don't do that. And
you
so
disallow
her?
We
I don't allow her to listen to any media. Otherwise, she breaks out in a cold sweat 24 hours of the day.
How postmodern feminist of you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I want her to be better informed from me. Does that make sense?
I guarantee you, after you go to sleep, she gets a big quart of ice cream and she sits down and she just watches news. He's asleep. I hear him snoring. Now's the time to indulge myself in some Rocky Road and whatever news media is out there for me to take in.
Yeah.
She's doing it behind your back. That's what
so point being that I accidentally scheduled the trip the same week as the election, not thinking about the election timetable. I was thinking about holidays. I was thinking about best times for the kids
I get a message from Ryan, and it says, I just scheduled my Disney trip over the election. Is that a problem? I'm like, I don't know, dude. That's something you're going to have to decide.
Is there a safer place to be on Earth than Magic Kingdom on Election Day, though?
Or ever, honestly.
Ever.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
That's going to be a great day.
Just make sure you vote.
I know. I'm going back and forth. Should I do it by mail or should I? Because I think
you
can vote ahead of time in person, but you just got to find the right.
You can vote in Illinois for like 2-3 weeks. You could probably vote right now.
That's
Joe Biden just went and voted.
Yeah,
didn't
he? Yep, he sure did.
shouldn't he have politically, shouldn't he have voted by mail?
Duh. Yes. I mean, you're just giving campaign talking points to President Trump for the next three debates to say, you voted in person? You don't think your
and
people
can? And
he did.
Can? Trump tweeted immediately that night. He's like, so the guy that's telling everyone to vote by mail just went to vote in person.
Realistically speaking here, real talk.
Okay.
Are people going to be confident? Do people hate Trump enough to elect Joe Biden?
No. No, I don't even think in a normal year that that would happen. I mean, that was the whole plan, right? Was to just paint him as the worst person possible, try to impeach him, anything you can throw at him. But then all of this violence happened, and I think we're really seeing, I don't want to use the term silent majority, because I don't think that's what would describe those people. But people who are looking at this and going, look, I don't want to live in a country that the leaders of the country look at violence and just kind of shrug. I think there are a lot of those people, and they're going
to
vote.
You can't see what's happening in our country right now and go, yeah, we need to go this other direction. I don't know that people, I feel like a broken record saying this. I don't feel like people are going to be hardcore Biden supporters at this point in the election and go, nope, I gotta cast my vote for Trump. But I do think you could see Joe Biden and his. Katie, do you still have that tweet pulled up that I sent you from before?
I can get it pulled up quickly.
Yeah, he would. I mean, it's day after day after day. I mean, if you want to try to pull up something that Joe Biden has done, if you want to try to find something that he's rambly and incoherent about, you don't have to go more than 24 hours from the last time he talked.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Katie.
Take care. If you were a quartermaster, you can sure in hell take care of running a, you know, department store thing, you know, where in the second floor of the ladies department or whatever. You know what I mean? Because if you could.
It's just, he's not in command, folks. And you know, Donald Trump is arguably too in command, you know, like that
yeah.
That if somebody in the behind the scenes wanted to say, here's what you're going to go out and do, you're going to say this, and then you're going to say that you're Melania's husband. You're not going to say that Melania is your wife, because that makes it sound like you possess her. You're going to say she possesses you, because women are going to eat that up, because that's what women want to hear. Or freaking play Despacito on your, like, it's just, it is so reliant on you listening right now in your vehicle, maybe getting off work early, maybe taking a late lunch, maybe sitting at your desk. They need you to be so stupid to buy into this stuff. And if you use your own eyes and your own ears to take in what's going on in this country right now, it just, I don't see any excitement for Joe Biden. And if it were being suppressed by some sort of pandemic reason, it's not like bursting at the seams anywhere. I don't see anybody doing anything. Even the Joe Biden for president campaign is just, I hate Trump.
That's what Kamala Harris was supposed to be. I mean, that's what the vice president pick was supposed to be, because they knew nobody was that excited about Joe Biden. But she's not providing that either. I don't know anybody. I mean, there was an initial kind of like, yay. But those are people that were already going to vote Democrat regardless. There's no enthusiasm for either one of those candidates. That's what's so strange about picking her for VP.
Yeah, I see a lot of like bumper stickers and T-shirts and stuff that are being passed around on the internet that just is like, okay, I guess I'll vote for Joe. That's the slogan. Okay,
or
I
anybody
guess
but Trump 2020.
Correct. Those are the two things I see.
Kanye West, we were talking about Kanye a little bit before, and see, here's something. This is the Daily Mail is reporting on Kanye West here. This is from today. Here's the headline. I'm just going to read you straight what the headline says. Kanye West has told his campaign staff to avoid, quote, fornicating, end quote, outside marriage, and says if he doesn't win, he will try again in 2024 because, quote, I'm a Gemini. Now, knowing that Kanye West is teetering right now, and everybody's watching, knowing that he's teetering here, he says that they add in this quote here that if he doesn't win this year, he's not going to win. It's not even like mathematically possible for him to win. Yeah. That he'll run in 2024 again because he's a Gemini. That's right there is written to make him look crazy. In the same headline where Kanye West has said to his campaign staff, don't sleep with people outside of the people who you're married to. Well, I'm sorry. That's something that I believe in. Yep. And it's not a crazy thought. And there are many of you listening right now who are going, yeah, I believe in that too. And there are many people who are listening right now who believe that, who maybe haven't practiced it, but who still believe that that is, you know, the design of things in this world. But it's supposed to be made to look crazy. It's supposed to be made to say, if you hold that belief, you're crazy. You're as crazy as Kanye West is. You're not allowed to have an anti-promiscuous mindset in this country right now, or this is the Daily Mail, this is from the UK, but, you know, culturally, globally, you're not allowed to have that worldview. We're supposed to accept a wide variety of worldviews. We're supposed to open our mind, keep your mind open. Why does nobody, like, why, even if it's not the predominating way to see the world, why isn't it a way to see the world? Why isn't my, you know, if I have a Christian view about how I see the world, why does that not get a letter in a sequence? Do you know what I'm saying?
I completely agree. Doesn't part of you, though, wish that one of the loudest voices for whatever you call it, abstinence or
family values,
whatever. Yeah, yeah, whatever he's
abstinence.
Yeah, abstinence until marriage, I guess, is what he's talking about. Doesn't part of you wish that he wouldn't have also tacked onto that same sentiment? And also, I'm going to keep running for president because I'm a Gemini.
Well, until I hear where they pulled that from, if he spoke for 3 hours in front of people and he said both of those things in the context of 3 hours, the Daily Mail goes, I'm putting these together and sending them out, because that's my point, is they're shaping what this is. And you take something that in a headline sounds crazy and you put it in with another thought that you disagree with, and you blanket everything as sounding crazy. You know, and I'm here to say that if you're somebody who believes in abstinence, if you're teaching abstinence, if you're teaching your children abstinence, I hope, you know, you can have that be part of the conversation. And I can ask that to be considered as part of the conversation, along with all of the other conversations that are happening out there. That should be allowed. It should have equal footing. And you shouldn't have to be ashamed if you have a belief system that supports those traditional values, because believing in abstinence myself doesn't mean I hate anybody. And that cannot be underscored any more. Like, I hate when people repeat themselves because I feel like you're forcing what you think is important on other people. But if you hold a you know, Judeo-Christian traditional mindset, that does not mean that you hate anybody. And if you say that you hold that Christian mindset and you're hating people, one of those things is wrong. You need to get in sync with what that Christian value is. You can disagree and you can not hate. But if you're using hate to disagree, then you're doing it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if we're going to have this larger conversation about, you know, values and culture, those Christian values are as valid to be a part of that conversation as anything else. To go back to my conversation about the gender reveal parties, let's have this conversation too. Not instead. We can have it too, because we should be represented as well. Ryan, go ahead.
Well, they use that if you have Judeo-Christian values or biblical values. They're going to say you're hateful, because that a lot of people hear that and they go, well, I know that I'm not, but if I say it and people are going to yell at me, then I'm just going to not say it. I'm going to be quiet. And so they're not using it necessarily to change your mind. They're using it to bludgeon you to shut up.
Yeah.
Hateful or uneducated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can have a heart for people who are different than me. I can have a heart for people who believe differently than me. And I do. I want to hear where you come from. I want to hear your circumstances, your perspectives. Can you hear mine? And at the end, if we disagree with one another, can't we respect each other more for having that conversation? Like, isn't the true test of a relationship that you can disagree on things and still love each other more because of your disagreements, that you value each other more than you value your disagreements? And that that shouldn't eliminate the traditional way of thinking that people may have, especially when it's biblical, religious. I mean, there are certainly a lot of religions in this country right now who hold a lot of very differing views on things. This is America. First Amendment, folks. They're all permitted. And we have to coexist, don't we? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show.
Thank you for bearing with me today. It's been a difficult day. It's been a difficult, I guess, 24 hours now. A little over 24 hours. I lost my grandma yesterday. She's 95 years old, not COVID related. Gosh, I'm hearing from so many of you, and it means the world to me. It's people who are, you know, reaching out to me on the Facebook page or just commenting on the Facebook Live today. It really does mean a lot. And, you know, I'm hearing stories from people who are like, someone sent a message and said, I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but I never had the opportunity to lose a grandparent because I never had a grandparent.
Mm.
Isn't there's something so special about grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, you know, and I see it in the way my parents grandparent my kids. And like, okay, my 4-year-old, her name is Evelyn. She's named after my grandmother. She's nuts. And Katie, what was it the other day? Oh, that you, I came to the station, yes, the other day to pick, yes, up some things. I mean,
she's wild.
She's unbelievable. And I am not a wild person. I am a very measured person. My husband is not a wild person. He's more social than I am. But like, we don't know where she came from. Like,
she whipped open the door. I mean, whipped. I came out to help you, you know, load some things into the car, whipped open the door and screamed, Katie! And instantly bouncing up and down in the car, bouncing, bouncing,
she's
bouncing.
So much energy.
Told me about her whole entire day.
Yeah.
I mean, just a bundle of fire and joy.
Mm-hmm. She's wild. But, you know, she also has two volumes on and off. Her voice, you know, I think maybe it has, I think she's a loud baby. I think she was a loud baby. I think that's something that she's always been. But when she talks, like, you have to say over and over and over again, Evelyn, inside voice, Evelyn, bring it down. And you know, you put her around other people, and my aunt's in town, and she's like, Aunt Diane! And then she's like, today I made a pumpkin in school. And then I colored it orange, and then I put it on my desk. Hey, Diane! You know, and it's like over and over and over again. And I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And, you know, she's 4, and you get it. But when you're a grandparent, everything is cuter. I don't know if they have like an Instagram filter that's like the grandpa or the grandma filter. I'm like, I did cute stuff when I was little. I didn't get treated like this. I got told to shut up. And I probably should have. And that's what I'm telling my kids. But, you know, like when you have grandparents around, there's just something special there. And I know that to have 95 years of life is just an amazing gift, and healthy too. You know, up until the very end, healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, what a blessing to have that. And for me to be able to spend my 36 years, which is way less than Ryan's years that he's spent. Happy birthday, Ryan. For my 37, wrong. That's not even accurate. It's closer to that than what I've said, but we'll just let you keep speculating, folks. For me to be able to spend my whole life, you know, every Sunday going up to my grandma's house and playing pinochle, like, it's hard for me to, think about not doing that anymore. But I also, I'm like feeding off of you and your messages here to remember to just be grateful that I was blessed to have what I have. It wasn't going to last forever. Of course not. But to have that blessing and to be able to have those memories is I'm very fortunate in that. And it's also something that is important for me. You know, people ask me all the time, like, Annie, why don't you just move out of Illinois? Well, it's because all of my children's grandparents are within a 10-minute or less drive from where I am when I'm at home. And that is a blessing. And you know, when you're raising kids, they're babysitters, you know, if you don't ask too frequently. they're there that you can turn your kids over to and you know, spend time with people who are family. Like, it's just, family is just so important. And I don't feel culturally right now that we value family the way we should. Generationally, respecting family, you know, trying to keep together a cohesive family unit. And if something happens within that family unit, you have to regroup and you have to make the best of what you have and move forward with what you do have, the blessings that you do have. So I'm hoping that that is something that I can give to you. You know, I said to Katie, I said, I can't go on the air and just talk about being sad about my grandma. That doesn't do you any good. And this show is for you. This show is not for me. If it were for me, you would be charging me because that would be therapy. Mm-hmm. This show is for you. And I know that you all have experiences that are gut punches in life. And you have to keep moving forward. You don't have a choice but to keep moving forward. The country is kind of in a moment like that right now. Like, this pandemic is put us in a situation where we still have to provide for our families. We still have to care for our loved ones. We still have to pay our bills. We have to move forward. And the pandemic doesn't go away. I cannot make the pandemic go away. I cannot bring my grandma back. But, you know, it requires effort and requires assistance and help. And I'm not really good at asking for help. Mm-hmm. But
I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've started to experience this already or if you're about to the next couple of days, but any time that my family has lost somebody close to us, it's one of the times that I feel closest to my family.
Yeah.
At the same time as losing somebody integral to the family, it's a bittersweet but very, very sweet moment.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a thing too about dealing with the loss of a loved one because of COVID, is when you have that visitation is for the people who have been left behind. It's so that you can, the people who can go and comfort the family and the very close loved ones, it's for them. I mean, you know, my belief is that this person who has passed away is moved on to, you know, God willing, heaven, the afterlife, and they are not here anymore. And the comfort has to exist with those of us who are left behind. And that's going to be limited for my grandma. And that makes me really sad, but I can't do anything about it. I can't change it. I can't undo the restrictions that are in place. I can't make COVID not exist. It absolutely exists. And to be irresponsible in the midst of this is not worth the consequences of being irresponsible. I don't know. It's just, you know, I think that we are going through a time right now that is tougher than we realize it is right now as a country. You add in something, like this, and it becomes even more apparent. But, you know, I started the show with this, and I want to end the show with this. Like, if you are in a position right now where you can objectively look at where your priorities are in life, that you haven't been forced to do so, if you can find those things in your life that are the most important to you, just hold on tight, because they are not forever. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are the most important to you hurt the most when you lose them.
Mm-hmm. Katie and I will be praying for you, Annie, for the next couple of days. Know that for sure. And I'm sure a whole lot of people listening will be too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the next couple of days off and spend some time with my family and get stuff together for my grandma. And for all of you who are sending very kind messages, I really am grateful for it. And I'm sad that I'm sad for you. I told you, I can we play Offspring now? Because
can we get a little pretty
fly? Yeah, pretty fly for a white guy. Because
can we play Despacito now?
Yeah, exactly. Joe Biden. Just play anything from Joe Biden. That will lighten my spirits until I am threatened with his presidency again. But I digress. I digress.
I got a little something for you.
You know, my husband and I celebrated 13 years of marriage yesterday.
Woohoo!
And my grandparents celebrated like almost 60 years together. So they're together
again.
No, but close. My parents and my in-laws have anniversaries this week as well. And cool. All together, we've probably got almost 100 years of marriage between us. It's a blessing.
Wow.
And my grandmother is with my grandfather, and I will see both of them again. Thank you for your patience. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.